Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's time for our News Digest unit, which is great. Good for you if you love the news. But also, it's our All English Lecture, which is an extra special treat for you today. You're not going to be able to rely at all on your mother language, whatever that might be, if that mother language is something besides English. Okay, so today in our News Digest unit, we're going to talk about something that happened back in July, which was the death of the Chinese activist Liu Xiaobo. Maybe you've heard of this fellow before, and I guess he won the Nobel Peace Prize a few years ago. And, of course, lots of people were talking about him, but he's not really particularly adored in mainland China.
You think? No, he's a troublemaker, according to them. But we're going to be talking about his life and what he was involved in and why he's so important to people who are freedom lovers. So let's get started, guys. We're going to read through the article. It's our all English lecture today, so there's going to be zero Chinese.
Okay, everybody, let's read the entire contents of our lesson right now.
Many people around the world grieved when Chinese academic, pro-democracy activist, and Nobel Peace Prize winner Liu Xiaobo passed away in July 2017. The Chinese government was likely less upset, however, while most of Liu's countrymen had no idea who he was. Liu had been living in prison since 2009. In addition, the Chinese government has banned his works and censored all online references to him. Liu Xiaobo was involved in the 1989 democracy movement that ended in protests and the Tiananmen Square massacre. He helped save hundreds of lives by negotiating with troops to let some protesters leave peacefully. After that, though it was clear what would happen to those who opposed the government, Liu continued to speak and write in favor of democracy. This resulted in his first three jail terms. His final imprisonment was the result of Charter 8. This document, written by Liu and various intellectuals in 2008, called for a new constitution, a democratic government, and human rights. This led to his trial, though it also contributed to Liu Xiaobo's Nobel Peace Prize win in 2010. The Chinese government refused to let him attend the ceremony, so an empty chair representing him was used in photos of the event. This drew parallels with the fate of Karl von Ossietzky, a German Nobel Peace Prize winner who was a prisoner in a concentration camp when he won. Just as Nazi Germany banned all mention of von Ossietzky's award, China censored any news about Liu and even banned the search term empty chair. During the 2010 Nobel ceremony, a speech Liu gave at his trial was read. In it, he said that he didn't regret speaking out. He continued to hope that China would one day be ruled by law, where human rights reign supreme.
Okay, everybody, let's talk about the Chinese activist Liu Xiaobo, and he's dead now. He died back in November, but this is an important news event. Probably not so much in China. They probably are glad that he's gone, and he probably wasn't really mentioned too much in their news media. But he's an activist, which means he's trying to bring about change in society. He's a pro-democracy activist in China. Of course, China is a communist system, so democracy is not really welcome there. But he thought that maybe China should be more democratic with directly elected representatives and stuff like that. So he's a pro-democracy activist. He wants to promote democracy in China, or at least he did when he was alive. And many people around the world grieved when he passed away. So if you grieve as a verb, that just means that you suffer grief or you're feeling really, really bad, really, really sad because someone has passed away or something terrible has happened.
Right. I was just reading about his death. He died of liver cancer, and he was only 61. This final prison sentence, or jail term, as we use in this particular article, was for 11 years. So he did die of liver cancer. Liver cancer is a tough one. Hard to beat liver cancer. So a lot of people around the world did indeed feel really sad about this death. There have been only two Nobel Peace Prize activists who have died in prison. And that was, of course, Mr. Leo and Carl von Ossietzky, who died back in 1935. So he passed away just recently, this summer in July 2017. But we're pretty sure the Chinese government really didn't care much. They didn't grieve too long. They were likely less upset than people around the world who knew of Leo. And it says here, most of Leo's countrymen, those are other Chinese people, probably had no idea who he was. As we know, in China, they ban freedom of speech is not there. And so if you say things that the government disagrees with, they take measures to make sure that you don't have any sort of popularity. They'll even affect Google. They've forced some companies to take down websites and to ban certain words or phrases. We're going to talk about that soon. So he probably didn't have a lot of his countrymen who even knew who he was or that he was in prison. He'd been living in prison since 2009. That was his latest prison sentence. In addition, the government in China banned his works. You couldn't buy or read anything he'd done and censored all online references to him. If you censor something, guys, you say you can't say these certain words, or you can't make this film, or you can't read or write this book. Censorship has been going on forever. Even in America, we have television censors and movie censors, people who decide what's appropriate for a certain rating on a movie. So on TV, you can't say certain things, or the TV censors will remove that particular word or scene if they don't feel like it's appropriate. But that's what censorship is. People decide what is allowed to be seen or heard or viewed. And the government over there in China, they didn't want people looking at any of his works or referring to him. A reference is when you actually mention somebody or mention something that someone has done. They wanted to remove all of the references to him online.
Or at least censor them. So we have to talk about the difference between ban and censor. They're similar in meaning.
True.
If you ban something, that just means you totally prohibit that thing. You don't let anybody have access to it. If books are banned, then you just simply can't find those books anywhere. But censor means, yes, they allow something to go through, but they kind of change the information a little bit. You might see some words blacked out here and there. I think every once in a while when National Geographic writes an article about China, they will censor certain parts of it. They will cross out certain passages, or they will glue pages of the magazine together so you can't read those. That's an example of censorship. But hey, if they decided not to let National Geographic publish a magazine in China at all, then they would ban the magazine totally. So if there are references to him online, they kind of change the information to suit their needs. Now, let's move on now to the next part of our lesson. Liu Xiaobo was involved in the 1989 democracy movement that ended in protests and the Tiananmen Square massacre. Now, I remember that when that was on the news. I was not in Taiwan at the time, but it was a big deal. There were big protests in Tiananmen Square. You may have heard about those protests. And that
was
of course,
was my thesis for my master's degree.
Okay.
Yeah, how the government in China controls the people through the media. Yeah, the media over there is very important.
Absolutely. So, yes, they have censorship and they ban certain things in the media there. And, of course, we're talking about the democracy movement of 1989, and he was involved in that. He played a role in that. Maybe he was a student leader or something. I'm not quite sure exactly what role he played. And it ended in protests with lots of people going down to Tiananmen Square and protesting, carrying signs and saying, hey, we want more democracy and stuff like that. And, of course, we all know what happened after that. It's now referred to as the Tiananmen Incident or the Tiananmen Square Massacre, in which lots of people were killed. But I guess if you can call it the massacre, you could also call it the incident. I guess it depends on who you are and how you'd like to have it referred to.
I doubt China calls it the massacre.
No, they would just say incident, or they just simply wouldn't mention it at all. No. Nothing happened there in 1989. No, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I was just reading online that they blocked WeChat, which is a very popular communication device. They blocked any mention of his last name and the word death for several days. So you were suddenly seeing some of your messages being blocked. They didn't want people remembering him, talking about him, and reliving what happened with that massacre, which was pretty horrific. Seems to me, and I was trying to look up, remember there was a really famous picture, a video of a man standing in front of a tank, putting his hands up, and I'm wondering if perhaps that was his legacy. So anyway, it says here he helped save hundreds of lives by negotiating with troops to let some protesters leave peacefully. Once those tanks and soldiers arrived and bullets started flying, people were being killed, and he was one of the negotiators who negotiated with the troops. The troops referred to the army, the soldiers that were there, doing what the government had told them to do and get rid of the protesters. He actually talked to them to see if they could make some sort of compromise. If you negotiate, we use this word a lot, especially in business, where two different sides come together and you try to get what you want without giving away too much of what they want from you. So a lot of people negotiate when they're talking about a price for a particular product. If you go to the night market, you might be bargaining with the dealer or the person who owns that particular stand or stall. He might want you to pay 500 NT, and if you bargain or negotiate with them or even haggle with them, that's another word we use when you're talking about lowering the price of something. Negotiation is usually considered to be a little bit more formal than that, than just haggling and bargaining at a night market. We negotiate quite often, though, when we're trying to work with another company and come up with a contract that we're both happy with.
Yeah, bargaining is a form of negotiating, but we wouldn't use the word negotiate to refer to bargaining in the night market. But as you said, it's for more bigger kinds of deals.
Formal
between
events.
Companies or within governments or between governments or whatever. So, of course, he was negotiating with troops to let some of those protesters leave peacefully. Yes, they're not really harming anybody. Let them go. Don't shoot them, even though you'd love to do that, or, you know, Deng Xiaoping or whoever is ordering you to do so. So he negotiated with them and said, hey, you don't need to do that. It's not necessary. And after that, though, it was clear what would happen to those who opposed the government. Liu continued to speak and write in favor of democracy. So we all know that the Tiananmen Square protests were brutally put down by the regime in Beijing, and nobody was allowed to say anything after that. Everybody pretty much shut up after that, and nothing has happened since. But after that, it was clear that you would probably be in big trouble if you opposed the government. Don't you dare try to protest against the government. You know what will happen. But Liu continued to speak and write in favor of democracy. I guess he wasn't too scared there.
No, and he was very positive. He was very optimistic. He loved his country. He thought things could change. But sadly, his life has ended quite early. He was only 61. Right now, guys, we're going to take a quick break. But guess what? No Chinese teacher. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back, guys. It's our News Digest. We're talking about the Chinese activist Liu Xiaobo, who passed away just recently this last summer in July with liver cancer at the age of 61. He was serving prison sentence at the time. He'd gone into prison this particular time in 2009, and his sentence was for 11 years, but he passed away before he finished serving it.
Exactly. So where we left off, we said that he continued to speak and write in favor of democracy to promote democracy. And, of course, this resulted in his first three jail terms. So I guess they told him he wasn't supposed to speak and write in favor of democracy or something like that, or they came up with some kinds of charges against him and sent him to jail. Now, his final imprisonment, or his final jail term, we could say, the amount of time that he spent in jail or in prison, was the result of something called Charter 8. Charter 8, okay? The word charter here just refers to something that is a written document that grants somebody's legislator to do something. It's a charter. It's something that the legislature is going to do. It's kind of like their goal or their focus or their plan or something. So you could say this is kind of like an official plan, and it's the eighth one, Charter number 8.
This document was written by Liu and various intellectuals in 2008. So it came out in 2008, and within a year he was in prison for it. So this document, of course, stated what their goals were to try to improve democracy in China. Let's look at this word intellectuals. Intellectual is someone who considers themselves to have a lot of education. And we use this word a lot if you're talking about China, especially when you had some of these people who were trying to get rid of intellectuals because they were causing problems, especially Mao didn't really like intellectuals. If you know anything of Chinese history, you know that intellectuals tend to cause problems for communist governments because they end up saying things that stir up the people and cause the people to come out in protest. So he, along with some other intellectuals, some various people, in 2008 wrote Charter 8. What was inside, or what did Charter 8 include? Well, they wanted a new constitution. So a constitution is a document that governs a country, sets out what that country believes, their policy should be, their laws, what they think the citizens are entitled to. Our constitution in America is very sacred to us. We feel like it's very, very important, and we protect it. The people that were writing this, along with Liu, also wanted a more democratic government, and they called for human rights. So these are some of the things that he got in trouble for. We don't know if the other writers were thrown in prison as well, but he definitely was taken to trial. He was charged, and the trial ended, and he was in prison within a year. Democratic refers to democracy, where people have the freedom to express themselves. They can vote for their representatives, and they are contributing to the running of their country. It's not just one dictator telling them how to live.
Exactly. So maybe the government thought this was treason, or it was revolution or something, to call for a new constitution or to call for a democratic government and to ask for human rights. So this led to his trial, which is when you confront the jury and the judge and stuff like that. Though it also contributed to Liu Xiaobo's Nobel Peace Prize win in 2010. So he had this trial, and then that document that he wrote, Charter 8, was influential in his winning the Nobel Peace Prize way back in 2010. I remember China didn't like that at all. They thought, hey, you guys should not be interfering with China's internal affairs. They're always saying that. But in any case, they didn't like that. So I guess that probably caused some problems with international relations with China or something. You guys should not be paying attention to this guy. We consider him a troublemaker. How can you guys consider him to be a hero?
He was actually charged with inciting or getting people excited about subversion of state power. So he was charged with actually trying to go against the government and get other people to be going against them as well. So, yeah, a lot of people were excited to see him get the Nobel Peace Prize, but not China. No. The Chinese government refused to let him attend the ceremony. We use ceremony when we have more of a formal event. event. It could be a wedding ceremony. We have tea ceremonies here in Asia, which are kind of cool. But it's usually a more formal religious or public event where some sort of event is celebrated, maybe an achievement, maybe an anniversary. Here, when they hand out those Nobel Prizes to the different people who earn them that year, they have a big celebration. It's a ceremony where they allow the people who are receiving it to be acknowledged. Some of them speak. But poor Mr. Liu, he could not attend because, of course, he was in prison. So instead of having him there in person, they wanted a representation of him. And so they set up an empty chair that was supposed to represent him, and that was used in photos of the event. And as you can imagine, China banned these photos.
Yes, he could not go to the ceremony, so there was an empty chair there representing him. And, of course, the photos were of the chair and not of him. And this kind of drew parallels with the fate of Karl von Ossietzky. Well, he was a German Nobel Peace Prize winner who was a prisoner in a concentration camp when he won. So if you draw a parallel with something, parallel means things are kind of running in the same direction, but they're the same distance from each other, like parallel lines, for example. On a highway, you see parallel lines. The lines on the left side of the highway and the right are parallel. They never cross each other, but they're always the same distance from each other. So yes, people kind of compared these two things. Yeah, hey, this is very similar to what happened to Karl von Ossietzky way back in the 1930s. He won the Nobel Peace Prize, but he could not go because the Nazis had him in prison. He was in a concentration camp, which, of course, as you know, is where lots of people were exterminated during World War II.
Yeah, we usually use that word exterminate when we're talking about killing bugs in our house. You know, we have the exterminators who come to houses and they spray that poison to kill the cockroaches, the spiders, things like that. It was so awful during World War II that they used that term to talk about the killing of all the Jews in concentration camps to exterminate them.
That's probably their term. I should have used word murdered.
Yeah.
Exterminate was the Nazi term. But
they wanted to get rid of all of them. So just as Nazi Germany banned all mention of Ossietzky's award, China censored any news about Liu and even banned the search term empty chair. They went so far as to actually make it impossible to Google search empty chair. Kind of crazy. Those are some of the things you have to do, though, when you're trying to get the people to just calm down and not go out and protest. I know that's part of China's solution, is just to not let people ever protest or get their voices out there to keep the peace. We'll see if that continues to be a policy that they pursue. Right now, it looks like it.
And, of course, as you know, the Chinese government censors stuff on the internet. Of course, that's why you can't get Facebook there or other, you know, nasty, naughty, troublemaking Western websites.
Facebook, a lot of the pages, the sites, they're banned, yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, of course, if you go... Well, I guess they probably don't have Google there either. If you go, what is there a search engine there in China? I don't know. But if you try to look for the term empty chair, you're not going to get anything. They have banned that search term. You just get an empty screen. And you might even get in trouble for actually trying to search for that term in the first place. So watch yourself.
There is a Google China, but it's a subsidiary of Google, and they have to follow very strict rules from the government.
Okay,
yeah.
Good enough. Now you know.
Yeah.
But that's an example of things that are going on in China. And, of course, you know the relationship there between Ossietzky, a German Nobel Peace Prize winner, and Liu Xiaobo, who also won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2010. There's a parallel there. They're very similar. Now, during the 2010 Nobel ceremony, a speech Liu gave at his trial was read. So when he had his trial, someone read this speech out loud at the ceremony. You might find it on YouTube or something to find the exact content of the speech. It was probably delivered in its original Chinese and probably also in translation in English or Swedish or whatever. I wasn't there. I don't know how they delivered the speech, but it was read during the Nobel Peace Prize ceremony. So I guess in a sense, he was there in spirit.
True. I just looked up to see the picture of the chair. They just kind of put his award on the chair surrounded by these other folks. So during that ceremony, he actually got to, well, he actually had his words heard. Let's say that, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't get to attend, but his words were heard. The more I read about it, and I was looking up articles about somebody who had interviewed him, the one thing that just I take away from this is he wasn't a cynic. He wasn't a negative guy. He loved his country, and he always tried to be as positive as possible when he talked about these things. Although, you know, he could definitely have become very bitter and angry. He spent over 10 years of his life in prison just for wanting to develop more democracy in his country and to further human rights. So, yeah, and here in this article, it says in that speech, his Nobel ceremony speech, he said he didn't regret speaking out. He never regretted doing any of the things he had done because he wanted to help his own country and the citizens there have more freedom.
That's what he believes. Yep. He believes that people should have the freedom to speak out, but not everybody believes that. I'm kind of reminded of something Jackie Chan said many years ago. He said, Chinese people need to be controlled. You can't let them do stuff like that.
I saw that quote. I was so angry about it. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people thought that he was just trying to make the Chinese government happy.
We
so
can kiss the Chinese government's butt.
Toady up to them, basically, so they would let his films be distributed widely.
True.
For China, and he can make a lot of money. That's another topic, but in any case, yes, whether you agree with that or not.
Very different from Liu, isn't it?
Indeed, but I guess here that Liu Xiaobo thought that they should have freedom of speech in China, whereas some people think, no, it's just causes trouble. Let the government take care of things and don't mix things up.
Don't stir up trouble, right?
Yeah, don't stir up trouble. Don't rock the boat,
right,
as we say. And so he continued to hope that China would one day be ruled by law, where human rights reign supreme and that human rights would be respected and that people would not suffer in various places in China. I guess there are human rights abuses in China, but as China often correctly points out, human rights abuses occur in other parts of the world as well. So it's a fight that all of us have to, try to reduce human rights abuses and stuff like that. So, yeah, this is something you can all discuss amongst yourselves, whether human rights can reign supreme, and rain is not water falling from the sky, but this is R-E-I-G-N. Rain just means to kind of control, and we want human rights to be the top thing. That's something that we all want to aspire to.
Yeah, we use that word rain to talk about a king or a queen or a prince, princess, ruling as some sort of royalty or monarch. But here it just means, as Tom said, to actually be the policy that is dominant, right? We want human rights to be very important around the world, if possible. Right now, we're not going to listen to our Chinese teacher, but we are going to sign off. We hope that you learned a few more terms that will help you in your future. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom.
See Goodbye. Ya.